Welcome to Chip Chat. I'm Allison Klein, and today I'm delighted to introduce a special edition of Chip Chat. John Healy, General Manager of the Network Solutions Group at Intel, sits down for a conversation with Jeff Spagnola, Vice President of Service Provider Sales at Cisco Systems, to discuss the future of the market for NFV and SDN. And now to the interview.
Hello, my name is John Healy, and I'm General Manager of the Network Solutions Group at Intel. I'm joined today by Jeff Spagnola, who's Vice President of Sales for the Global Service Provider Business at Cisco. Welcome, Jeff. What are your thoughts on the market for NFV and SDN? How do you think we're doing?
Well, in sales, you know, you're always looking for acceleration. But, you know, given where we've come from, which is, you know, very transformational discussions to, you know, architectural discussions, and now kind of where we are, I would say that we are, you know, from a realistic perspective, we're kind of heading into those POC phases of, you know, kind of validation of some of the underlying principles around NFV or SDN or automation. All of that kind of comes together into an architecture that the service providers, as an example, are trying to really kind of assess in terms of how it really is going to deliver on the promise of either, you know, more agility, lower cost, et cetera. So I think we're kind of in that POC phase moving into production with some very specific kind of use cases that they're figuring out along the way.
Yeah, I agree. It's interesting some of the data that the market's sort of sharing. We saw some stuff recently where those service providers that had been surveyed around their intentions, you know, more than 40% of them said, hey, we're going to virtualize a fifth or so of our functions on our networks by the end of this calendar year. Mm-hmm. And then if you look even forward, definitely there seems to be a fairly high desire to purchase standard platforms, standard server-based platforms as a underlayer or platform to enable NFV to be deployed. Some 50% of those that were, or 50% of the buying decisions were for that, you know, from those that were surveyed recently by IDC. So I agree with you. I think the momentum is clearly there to move toward it. We've seen the last couple of years as being the years, like you said, of the kind of POC lab trial, maybe initial trial of a function in the network, and now the beginnings of the sort of the green shoots of the deployment starting to occur,
right,
which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. It's you know, like I said, I mean, when you're carrying a quota for this stuff, it's it can never move fast enough,
right?
And I think the industry at large is kind of wrestling through, is this application-led, meaning is it the VNF that leads the conversation? Is it the infrastructure that leads the conversation? Can we really converge all these different use cases onto one infrastructure? If so, how would we actually
get
do
there.
That? So I think that's where just a lot of the customer time is really being spent in that. Not to mention the transformation that this has on the service provider's operational environments, their network engineering and architecture, the skill sets that are required to support these new technologies.
Yeah, it's not insignificant.
It's not insignificant.
You raise an interesting point. Actually, two that I'd like to kind of pick up on. First is, as they're moving forward, we are seeing some specific use cases rise to the top. Mm-hmm. Some of them very targeted towards just reductions in the cost environment. You think of things like virtual CPE deployment, particularly on the enterprise side, but we've seen some on the domestic side or residential side too, as a way of reducing cost of just provisioning, mm-hmm. management of the truck rolls for upgrades and such, and creating a little bit more flexibility for how services can be implemented if you pull those layer three functions back, virtualize them, and run them from the network. There are others, you know, in the mobile core, we've seen quite a bit of activity there, I'm sure you've seen it as well. But you also, you raise an interesting point though around the challenge to kind of get down this path, not just technology maturity and the need for that, or need for standardization, because there's a lot of activity and we're both very involved in that work in the industry as well, but the cultural change it creates inside an organization to cope with an environment where you really do have to be capable of provisioning in a way that wasn't where your grandfather's old network ops used to operate. Mm-hmm. It's a very different environment.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, you bring up a lot of good examples, whether it's on the, you know, thinking about the how does the enterprise or the end customer want to consume services in the future,
right?
I think it's pretty much fait accompli that they want to move more towards cloud-based service consumption models, right? And
yeah.
So therefore, you kind of start with infrastructure and maybe PaaS layer stuff, but now we're into the network, software agility kind of space, right? And the network has never been designed, for that kind of agility in the past.
That's
and
right.
It's been a very rigid OSS environment, a very rigid kind of set of principles to get the 5.9 carrier class aspects of that. And so what I think many of our service provider customers are wrestling with, again, is that transformation of the operational environments. At the same time, kind of the CTO office is working through the proofing, the delivery and proofing out of the technologies, the underlying technologies.
Right.
And having those two worlds come together now, that's kind of where we're seeing, especially, remember, you can do anything in a lab. Now when you hand it over to your peers over in operations and they say, deliver this at scale and at the reliability we're expecting, all of a sudden the ops guys go, time out.
Right. This is
I need to understand, where's the tooling?
Right.
Where's the visibility? Where's the assurance and those kind of things? And those are the things that we're kind of now facing more as an industry and an ecosystem than we were in the past.
Yeah, you're right. The concepts like service assurance in a virtual environment, even simple things like network provisioning and dimensioning, where with physical appliances, there were limits and constraints. You could understand where you were going to provision a certain level of capacity. But in a virtual world, you need a lot more flexibility by design and by definition, but you also have much less certainty about how you can provision and what level of dimensioning you can rely on. Mm-hmm. So this concept of service assurance and policy enforcement and need to approach a form of carrier grade, ruggedness and reliability as has been the case in the network up until now. What do you think about how the ecosystem is evolving around that? I know we both do a lot of work in ecosystem development, and how do you think they're responding to some of these challenges?
Yeah, given the market opportunity that's out there, I think the ecosystem, whether it's the OpenStack community or the hardware vendors, software vendors, VNF vendors, SIs, everybody's enthusiastic about it because there's market opportunity out there, and there will be a lot of spend that happens as these networks transform and adapt to these new technologies. So, I mean, on the very positive side, there's no lack of interest and excitement and enthusiasm to participate.
Sure.
I think on the challenging side is you still have a fragmented ecosystem that the standards bodies are trying to become more of a rallying point for harmonizing a lot of diverse opinions on things, but it continues to be really a work in progress in my view on that. Lots of good progress, but we could always do better. We want to do better, and we want to move faster. But it's just the work we're doing, the work you're doing with other partners is a testament to the kind of investments that we're making in the ecosystem to accelerate this transformation.
Yeah, you're right. And the theme of fragmentation comes up a lot. A lot of the conversations I have, particularly with the partner community, but also with the end customer and user community, is around the high level of fragmentation that's occurring even in standards efforts or on the path to standardization through a lot of the open source communities. And one of the sort of rallying cries we have continued to make of late is really one around, hey, as an industry, we'll be better served if we can converge more of these efforts rather than diverge them. Because every time we do that, we fragment the developer community even further. And a lot of the promise of what this industry provides is a broader base of vendors, a multi-vendor, interoperable, sort of, standardized, more harmonized set of solution capability. And we live this every day. How do you enable that to occur if the environment to which they can target their solutions is so fragmented that they have to do multiple flavors and versions of
them? That's right.
It gets to be so much harder. So one of the encouragements we continue to provide to the market is work toward harmonizing around these standards, and let's get a critical mass of weight in a select number rather than a large number, and let's not continue to reinvent the same effort over and over again.
Yeah, that's right. The customers too are very fragmented in their approaches as well.
That's
right?
A good point. What
some customers want is they want this kind of Etsy-driven, open, very clear kind of component architecture and structure,
right,
so that they can have that independence of moving different vendors in and out of that infrastructure,
right,
based on whoever's keeping up with the latest capabilities, if you will. So they want that openness, right? But then they want some systems level ownership,
sure,
of it as well, right? And hence you guys building out solutions teams, us building out solutions teams.
Right.
You know, we're finding that when they actually get into the actual deployment and working with the technology, they come back to the vendors or the solution providers and they say, you know what, if we can get this a little bit more kind of tightly integrated, not closed, right, but tightly integrated, you can help me accelerate my deployment.
And it,
right,
makes it more predictable and
that's right,
more defined. You really raise an interesting thought there. We thought of this more along the lines of a continuum of maturity, from nothing's virtualized, everything's fixed functional, to it's fully dynamic, auto-provisioning, semi sort of independent and, mm-hmm, and autonomous. Mm-hmm. And everything on that path takes you through a series of stages and steps. We're really kind of in somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the realities that we're finding with the market, and that's very much testimony, as you said, to the work we've been doing together, is creating that sense of what is possible today on a journey towards what you may want to have as a visionary end state in the future.
Yes.
And it really raises how the work and innovation that we invest in Intel is then expressed through the work we do with you as you bring a solution and a product offering to the market. Maybe we touch on some of those as areas where we've spent focus, and I think have achieved a tremendous amount in the number of, you know, last number of years where we've been working together. If I think about innovations like just at the technology level, things we've done with DPDK for the data plane acceleration,
mm-hmm,
work we've done around virtual switching acceleration, and, you know, continually improving around the microarchitecture as new capabilities, even in the chips that are in the CPU themselves, are enabled, that very much help more cloud-like workloads to be run. And then expressing those through enhanced platform awareness up into the orchestrator, some of the work we've done in OpenStack. I think that it raises some really interesting areas where the ingredient in the platform is optimized to take it on a path toward more NFV deployment. And then, you know, work we do with Cisco and your teams are in how it comes to market as a product offering.
Yeah, no question. I've been really impressed with the way the two companies have worked together in these innovative areas to solve real problems that we're exposing, that are being exposed through this transformation, if you will, of the underlay and the overlay architectures of the way networks have been built. And, you know, you bring up VPP, DPDK, and then bringing that to the industry forum,
right?
Or the open community around the FDIO
work, yes,
right, is a great testament to acknowledging what you guys do really well. On the NIC card and accelerating hardware, if you will, and what we do really well in network and data plane acceleration,
right?
Going, hey, this is what's going to have to happen if we're going to get the I/O performance where it needs to be and the cost points where it needs to be to
That's
deliver
right.
on the promise of this wonderful new world of reduced cost of ownership and better returns on investment, et cetera, associated with this virtualized infrastructure,
yeah,
right? And it's just, it's a great example. And I think EPA is another really good example where in bringing in Red Hat, of course, mm-hmm, into the mix here, given that what they do for us in OpenStack, tying together our three technology and our innovation capabilities in a way that solves for not just spinning up and down VMs, but what hardware should we place the VM on?
Right.
What's the use case? What's the requirement? Is there crypto involved? Do we need GPUs, et cetera? And you exposing that from that infrastructure and us looking at that information and using it is really powerful to the future of really where we're heading here. So
yeah,
I'm excited about the work that we're doing together.
Yeah, and me too, totally. And in areas, I think, where we can now work on the next wave of sort of challenge together. How do we get better telemetry in the platform? drive towards that concept of service assurance we spoke to earlier, and see how we can best optimize how both of our ecosystems and our partner base, you know, converge around implementable solutions that can be brought to market. It's a very exciting time. Work we've done even in joint lab investments, I think, is well worth mentioning as well, around really creating that lab for interoperability and to help to bring partners together to both validate but also to optimize their offerings on top of the platform.
Yeah, no question. We really appreciated the investments that you guys have made in our lab environments, where we're actually taking those labs now and pushing them out into the field so that customers can go out and play with it and touch it locally, right? Yeah. They don't have to fly everybody into Santa Clara or right. San Jose or Europe or London or something like that. We're pushing it out into the field organization and bringing the customers in, allowing them to play with it, allowing them to see how this innovation is actually maturing and materializing real time. And that's so much better than taking a webcast or, right. you know, trying to learn it in some other kind of, you know, learning environment, so to speak.
Yeah, much more hands-on, much more tangible, and also more accessible. In fact, in some ways, it brings the concept of cloud further right. out to the customer base, right. so they can take advantage of resources that clearly would be more, you know, beyond what they could invest in for themselves, but also less demanding on their time because of we were removing that need for them to travel or to bring precious resources to central locations, like you said. That's yeah, true. I think I'm very excited about what that's going to enable and achieve for us.
And for us on the sales side of things, you know, this is a huge transformation for how we create our offers to our customers. Before it was, you know, buy this, you know, platform. It comes with X number of ports. How many would you like?
Right.
And it runs with this integrated operating system. Done. Right. And now we're in the selling motion of, well, we have this modular based architecture called, right. you know, the Etsy framework, mm-hmm. and here's what we can fit in, and here's where the ecosystem comes in, and then where do you want to, you know, put your systems integration, you know, dollars, in what areas, what are you good at, Mr. Customer, what are we good at? And you have a whole different sales cycle that goes on as well. And so yeah. These labs have been critical for us to make sure that the people right next to the customer are credible and understand how this is actually coming together.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So switching kind of gears, and as I think we get toward wrapping up our little conversation, if we were to think about the things we would really want to encourage the market or our customer base to go do on this path, what would be your primary thoughts?
Well, my primary thought would be this market is moving, right? There's great momentum. Lots of energy, a large ecosystem behind it, and you know, I would recommend that they get started. Right. Yeah. Now, where do they get started? They get started by, of course, I think peeling off a team of people that have the right skills to assess these technologies. Operational people, engineering people, right. architecture people. It's not one or the other, it's the three coming together. Then I look at a use case that is actual, that you can kind of tangibly get your head around, if you will, versus solving, you know, all network problems with this architecture at once, right? Yeah. The most success we've seen is where you take a mobile operator that has a new business they want to get into, kind of scaling out more MVNO end customer private networks, if you will.
Right.
Great. You can either go buy $1 million packet core infrastructure, or you can buy a virtualized piece of software for the packet core function, put it on some x86, see how the market adapts to your offer, right? Operate it in a bit of a contained environment, mm-hmm. prove it all out, and begin to kind of take on more use cases from there.
As it matures.
As it matures and as your ability to handle the technology and the operation matures as well.
Yeah.
So it's a path that both the people and operational and skills need to go along while the technology goes along as well. But get started. It's happening right now. I would make a plug for working closely with Cisco and Intel on this and our partner Red Hat as well. Pick some partners that are going to take the journey with you, that have the motivations in terms of our business operating models, right, and has the ability to deal with a lot of the change and the longevity that this is actually going to require for us to transform, right? Yeah. We're on a journey. You can pick the number of years. We've probably been at it for at least five.
At this stage.
There's another 15 ahead of us sure. that before this is widely deployed into production at scale where it's now, you know, table stakes, if you will.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think we're on a journey. It's an unstoppable momentum at this stage, but we're making progress together. And the more the market and the partners we work with across the industry and the end customers collaborate together around these. I think a lot of the forums exist for that to happen. You mentioned FDIO, great, OPNV is another one, Open Daylight we're both involved in as well. These are creating the right kinds of communities for the level of collaboration and sharing. If the spirit is maintained within those, great things can happen. Because this is a change for this industry, for the network particularly, that has never happened before, frankly. Okay. I don't think it's the most, it's not that it's the most comprehensive change, it's probably the largest ever mm-hmm. for this industry. But the opportunity it's creating for all of the players involved is tremendous.
That's right.
But I agree with you, we're on a multi-year journey. We're probably at the first couple of stages of that, first few steps, but making good progress. So Jeff, thank you very much for coming in, spending some time. So hope you enjoyed our conversation. Clearly, this market is on a transformational journey. And as we mentioned, everything from the momentum we see to the prime use cases, to the way the ecosystem and partner base is evolving around it, and indeed the great work we've been doing collaboratively between Intel and Cisco to help to further the market along the path to that perfect end state that we talked about. Lots of excitement, lots of momentum. We encourage you to participate in the ways we defined, but also look forward to seeing conversations like this again in the future.
I hope you enjoyed this special edition of Chip Chat. For more information, please visit networkbuilders.intel.com.
Visit Chip Chat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.